At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by Shein.
Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's take a listen to that 911 call. It's weird. Again, not saying this person had anything to do with it, but it's just weird and leaves far more questions than answered. We'll take a listen, maybe even pause it a little ways as we go through it. And if you want to break through with anything, just feel free to speak up and I will press the pause button. Here is a good chunk of that 911 call. This is her ex-fiance calling 911 when he finds her in the apartment dead. Let's take a listen.
I just walked to my apartment. My fiance's on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come. Help.
4601
Flat Rock Road.
Is this a house or apartment?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Apartment.
It's an apartment.
What apartment number?
Please hurry, please.
Where is she bleeding from?
I don't know. I can't tell. She's...
No. So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. She, okay. I don't know. I'm looking at her right now. I can't see anything. She didn't, there's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie!
You don't know where she's bleeding from? Can't
Ellie,
see where blood's coming from?
It's, I think her head. I think she hit her head, I think. But it's all everywhere.
Okay, sir.
I'm just going to pause there and ask you, what are you getting out of this so far? I mean, the fact, the person's jumping to a lot of conclusions here right away. Mm-hmm. I guess if you're kind of in that fog of war at the moment, you'd be trying to figure out, well, what did happen? Did she hit her head? What happened? But we're getting a lot of absolutes here, almost like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
Well, the first thing I think is odd is the hitting her head. When, how would that account for blood everywhere and a knife sticking out of her chest? That's bizarre. And obviously he sounds very upset, very distressed, but we have seen time and time again, not saying he's a perpetrator, but we have seen time and time again when perpetrators, thinking of Alex Murdaugh, other similar cases where, you know, someone has been convicted of a crime and you play the 911 call and they're agitated and distressed and in this, you know, state of mind. And so I think some people might say, well, listen to how upset he is. Obviously, he didn't have anything to do with it. We can't really say that for sure.
It's hard to say that here. I mean, there's just a lot of back and forth emotions that seem to be going on here, from extreme distress to almost just like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It just, yeah, let's keep listening here.
Everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Philadelphia
Fire Department
842.
What's the address? No,
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please hurry.
4601 Flat Rock.
Yes.
What's wrong?
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now just on the floor with blood. Like she's not responding.
Okay, is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down, and I need you to look at her chest. It's really.
I don't think she is. I really don't think she is.
Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back. Do I bring her?
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you what to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her flat.
Oh, God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone until they get there?
I have to, right?
Okay, so get her flat on her back.
I'm going to pause it there. I have to, right? Who says that? Your loved one is dead on the floor, and you at this point supposedly don't know anything about the knives. So, you know, I get little later on where he, oh my God, there's a knife. Cool. You can't do it then, but you're already, I have to? Mm-hmm. I suppose I have to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Odd. Very odd. Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing I had noticed about this, and it kind of came to me the other day. At the beginning of the 911 call, there's all this frantic, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, he's acting as if he's investigated the scene already and then calling 911.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's not what's happening on the phone call. He's acting as if all of this is brand new to him right at the, like, as he's going through the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this shock come from? I mean, she's on the ground. Okay. But your first thing is not to go take a look at her and see what's going on before
exactly.
You call 911
and try to verify that she's breathing right off the bat. And yeah, mm-hmm.
That again, does not make any sense to me. Does it make a murderer? No, but it sure looks really freaking weird. You could just be one of the mm-hmm. stupidest people out there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or you could be in shock and just your mind is gone and you're not seeing it. But still, I mean, does this happen ever? Do we see it where people are in really horrible, bizarre situations where their loved one is dead and just utter basics seem to go out the window of, I don't know, checking on the person to see if they're alive or not? And then having all that emotion of like, I'm not saying he said he knew what happened, but he was acting as if he already did while he's examining it. Can that be explained?
I don't know that it can. You know, I had the experience of walking in on a dead body unexpectedly once and trying to call 911. And I initially hit 411, directory assistance.
Yeah.
And then I tried again and I hit repair at 711. And, you know, it was like, how hard is it to call 911? But when you're rattled, you know, the brain does not always work right. You may get bizarre things. But this one, it definitely doesn't. And all add up.
I think the only thing I can think of, I mean, obviously just the cases that we're talking about, is the bizarreness of the Koberger situation and the surviving roommate not having called 911 till much later in the day. Granted, you know, she was a kid, you know, just freshly into college. But that felt weird too. And I'm no way saying that that person had anything to do with the Koberger situation.
Right.
I have a little more understanding and sympathy over there where I think we understand what actually happened. But again, I mean, it's an example of a case where, you know, somebody didn't do exactly what you would think they would do
right.
at that exact moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah. And my guess at the time that happened, and I think it's been confirmed, is that, you know, because there were so many people partying in that house all the time, so many people in and out. And I thought the young woman was probably intoxicated or high and just misinterpreted, wasn't sure how to interpret what she saw when she saw him, and therefore just went back to bed. And
yeah. Yeah, I mean, very, very different scenarios.
Yeah.
You didn't get a 911 call from her like this.
Right.
It was not exactly that. Let's continue on with this call.
Her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off?
okay? She kneel down by her side.
Oh, my God. Allie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir, because you
okay, I'm trying not to. Her shirt won't come off. It's a zipper.
Rip
oh, my
off.
God. She stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell in a knife. Oh, no. Her knife's sticking out.
Again. Oh, my God, she stabbed herself. A knife
that
sticking out.
That is the weirdest thing. That is the, out of all of this, that statement, oh, my God, she stabbed herself. That, why would you go there? I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's really weird.
Yeah. Whoever thinks when someone has a knife sticking out of their chest that they stabbed themselves? Again, I understand that she was going through some mental health problems. I get that. And yeah, I mean, people have stabbed themselves before. That is not completely impossible to do. You just can't do it once you're dead.
No. And it would certainly be a very bizarre, I would put it in the bizarre category for a female who is not floridly psychotic, as she definitely was not psychotic, to take a knife and start stabbing themselves. That's not how women do it, even if they want to kill themselves. People always hear about cutting their wrists, which in truth is not a very effective way to kill yourself. But you know, people will do that sometimes. They'll slice their wrists. Nobody takes a knife and just starts stabbing. I mean, it just, I've never seen a case where that's happened. I'm sure somebody could find one somewhere, but.
Yeah,
but
I can't say I've seen any. I believe they're probably out there, but I don't think you have many where they're doing it after they're dead. Call me crazy, but I just don't think that happens. Let's listen to more.
What?
There's a knife sticking out of her heart.
Oh, she stabbed herself?
And that part, too. There's a knife sticking out of her heart. You're so sure, like, you're that sure in this moment in time that there's a knife sticking out of her heart specifically. I mean, is this just, was it a figure of speech? Are you just throwing it out there because it's in that area of the body, so you're thinking it's in the heart? Or, I don't know. It's, there's just so many weird absolute statements that are being made. Again, I don't know the guy. He made this maybe just kind of how he communicates, and it's always a little off on kind of everything. I don't know. There's people like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look good. And with all these things that don't look good and look weird, again, this is just like candy for an investigator. I mean,
exactly.
How would you not be looking at this further?
Oh.
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay, and fell.
Well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I just let her down here now? I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is in her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
Is someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 4601 Flat Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone's on the way. And the knife is still inside?
Wait, so what?
The knife is still inside of her?
Yes, I didn't take it out.
Was it her chest or what area?
It's in her chest. It's like, it looks like it's wrapped.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting, but it does feel like there was almost like, yeah, I didn't take it out. There's almost a bit of humor interjected there. Yes, I did. Again, maybe he's just catching his breath. That could be an overreaction on my part, but it does feel a little weird.
Yeah.
It looks like it's right in her heart.
Okay, someone's on the way out there, okay? Just get
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How old is she?
She's 27.
27. And there's no sign of life at all?
No, please don't be. What?
Bend her under her arm and tell me if she responds to pain.
She's... Ellie!
That's the 911 call.
Very, very weird.
I mean, if you were there in, let's say, an investigator, let's say none of the insanity of lack of investigating this took place, and let's say an investigator is coming to you as a psychotherapist, as someone who is involved in the world of mental health and played that call back for you going, what do you glean out of this as someone in that field? What would be, I know we talked about a lot of them, what would your answer be?
It has an odd flavor to it, and particularly the statements about, I think she fell and hit her head. Why would you go there immediately? Why the, you know, she's, oh my God, I see a knife. She stabbed herself. Why would you go there? It's just one of those things that you always look for. Does this all fit what mm-hmm. you would imagine a scenario being? And yes, there are variables with how people respond to things, but some of the things that he's guessing give a feeling like, okay, here's the story I'm trying to sell you, and rather than mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. You know, there's something yeah. horrible has happened. It's like, well, here's a possible story, and then here's another possible story. Yeah. And then, well, maybe she fell on the knife, so here's another story. And so in that sense, I would be looking at it more closely.
It's like throwing spaghetti at a wall, seeing what sticks, it feels
seeing
like.
Seeing what sticks,
like, what,
yes.
What's gonna resonate? What am I going to get the reaction yeah. out of that somebody goes, maybe this is plausible?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going through a situation like that, you're in trauma, maybe you are just trying to connect the dots everywhere you look going, oh my gosh, I found this. Maybe that scenario is this. Maybe this is that. I mean, I guess that's not completely crazy, but it sure comes across as not sounding great. Yeah. If someone's looking at, again, not saying that he had anything, but it's just answers. There just mm-hmm. needs to be answers as mm-hmm. to why. Why was this the reaction? What were you thinking? What was going on here? What was going on with the relationship? Why was her ring on the right. counter? I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on in this case that, again, just never had basic answers asked of. I have no idea where the evidence is at today or if there is any evidence, considering it was not considered a criminal case. So that knife may be around, it may not be. Mm-hmm. And I would guess... maybe not, or scrubbed, or I don't know. There's just so many things here that I feel have probably already been lost in the mix. I don't yeah. know that we're ever going to truly get solid enough evidence to find out who did this because it wasn't handled correctly to begin with.
Yeah, and the really horrifying thing is how often does this happen and we never hear about it. It never, there aren't family members who have the wherewithal and the fortitude as the Greenbergs have had to chase it mm-hmm. like this. And my guess is it happens a lot.
Because, I mean, this happened in a big city. This happened with a lot of, you think of things like this not necessarily happening there because you have such an influx of so many people involved in the chain of command for an investigation that it would be hard to bamboozle everyone if that's what is going on here, if this is some sort of a conspiracy or a cover-up. It'd be really hard to get a lot of people on board like that when they're coming from so many different places and there's so many crimes that are being investigated. I think of this more in a small town setting where there's like just two or three people that really kind of need to be taken care of to get through something really dark or to cover something up really dark, which we've seen in a lot of really small town cases. But this is not that. Yeah. It certainly points to power. That's all I can figure out of this is that there was some sort of power that somebody exerted and it prevented an investigation from taking place, or the mm-hmm. investigators were just really, really stupid. I don't know mm-hmm. which one it is, but mm-hmm. Now that civil suit is going on, maybe more will be dug up. I would be really concerned if I was the person who is behind this, because we know it wasn't Ellen Greenberg that is. Mm-hmm. So there's mm-hmm. somebody else involved in some way, shape, or form. What mm-hmm. shape, way, and form is the big question. But will we ever get the answers?
We would love to. We would love to know, and we'd love to see that person get the consequences that they deserve.
He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men... they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, She's Just Another Case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.